Good morning. How's everyone doing? This great morning. Well, the end of another week. And not much going on, but getting kind of close to the end of Ezekiel here. Got one more chapter after this one. So I'm thinking by Wednesday of next week, we'll be done with Ezekiel. So I'd love to get some input if you guys want to text me or catch me at church or wherever, on some ideas for what we're going to study next. My thoughts are kind of taking me in the direction of maybe doing one of the ladies next, either Ruth or Esther, or starting with the other prophets we're working on, Ezekiel and Daniel, and maybe start working on some of the minor prophets like Hosea and go down through the minor prophets. Those are some thoughts I've had for the next phase of our study. And so maybe you can let me know what you think. Let's start with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you so much for the opportunities that we have to be able to study your word. And we give you all the praise and thanks, Lord. And you can help us to see your vision for us. You help me to see where you would like me to head next. And help me with this finishing off of Ezekiel, and that we can portray it in a way that glorifies you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So Ezekiel 47, I'll tackle the first 12 verses this morning. And let's get some, I think I'll bring in the temple picture for the beginning of this one, because it's going to be talking about that river. Yes, that nice blue river you see there. I'm going to start there first. And I named this one Healing Waters, because that's the purpose of it. It's going to start by the throne of God, and it's going to head out. And I'm going to show you a picture here shortly of, based on some verses, where it's going to go. So I'm going to start off by reading a few verses from Zechariah and Revelation that also speak about these waters. And so let me just get the verses in here. Oh, I better get the big one. You can see already I need the big one. Where is my big one? There it is. So starting in Ezekiel 47:1, afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under from the right side of the house and at the south side of the altar. So you can see here that my picture here, you can see the this is the east side over here. This is the main entrance, comes straight into the house. You can see it said that it comes from the right side of the house to the south side of the altar. So the right side would be the side as if you were standing inside the house, comes out from there, goes to the south side, which would be this side of the altar. And comes out, and we're going to see that it continues out this way, out the east side. And the waters came down from under from the right side of the house and the south side of the altar. I see my voice is going to be a problem tonight, I think. So Zechariah 14:8-9 talks about this also. So I want to read these. And it shall be in that day that the living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. And summer and in winter shall it be. And you notice it says Jerusalem here. And that's why when we see the picture I'm going to show you, you see where we're getting these ideas from. It doesn't say anything about the temple here. It just says Jerusalem. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day, shall there be one Lord and his name one. So this is talking about the end times, and the Lord is in charge. And also in Revelation 22, 1 and 2. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Fascinating words there in Revelation. So you can see that some might say this is a little bit of a controversy, but I don't, because I can see that, that we're talking about two different places here. I'm talking about waters in general. Let's go over to Psalms 46:4. There is a river, the stream whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Also in Joel 3:18. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judea shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim. And back to Zechariah 13:1. In that day there shall be a fountain opened in the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for a sin and for uncleanliness. Okay. So these are all different passages we have about this particular river. So continuing back in Ezekiel 47:2. Then he brought me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Okay, 1,000 cubits is about 1,500 feet. That's about 3 football fields. So probably outside the gate somewhere at this point. It's a little bit why it's hard to believe that this is in the city of Jerusalem. Because realize that even if you placed it right on top of Jerusalem where it is now, and that this earthquake that's going to flatten Jerusalem happens, that this particular part would be a little difficult from where the present place is and where the temple is right now. We're just kind of going back to verses we talked about. You'll see in my picture why some of these verses make more sense. If the temple is not co-located with Jerusalem. 47:4. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. So now we're up to 2,000 meters. Measurement, and that would be 3,000 feet. And again he measured 1,000 and brought me through, and the waters were to the loins. So now we're up to the hips area. So now we're up to what? 3,000 measure, which would be like 4,500 feet. Now we're almost a mile away. A mile is 5,280 feet. And after he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. So total, we got about a mile from. So you can see that that would be a little difficult in Jerusalem. If you've ever seen a map of Jerusalem where the temple was, you got the Kidron Valley right there out the east gate, and drops in the Kidron Valley. And I guess it could flow, but it would be really hard for it to flow to either the Dead Sea or to the from the east side anyways of only. Because it has to go to two places. It has to go to the Dead Sea and to the Mediterranean. Verse 46, and he said to me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. And now when I returned, behold, the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and on the other. Okay, so let me bring in my other picture. Okay, here's my other picture. Let's take a look at this picture a little bit. Actually, I'm going to show you one that I colored in. This one here. You can kind of see where the blue is. So you can see the blue area. The blue area is the river itself that we're talking about. And if you can see the green area, that's the trees that we're going to be talking about. Now, the little gold area up top here, that's the temple, as it because it talks about it being in other verses. That, remember, we mentioned in Zechariah that valley. And this particular area north of the city is a much more conducive to what we've been talking about. And that the river would come out the side here and end up flowing down. And this would be the road, the highway that they talk about. And the trees lining the river will be all along it. That's that green area you see on there. And then it comes down into Jerusalem proper. And here would be the place where it could actually go to the Dead Sea, which we'll talk about, and to the Mediterranean. And this talk that, you remember the verses that talk about the fact when Jesus returns with us, at the end of the tribulation, there's going to be a great earthquake, and at the Mountain of Olives, which is over here, over on this side, is going to split in two, and that's where the river is going to be able to go east. I'm sorry, west, and then it'll also go east. At this point, it'll be able to go east. There is a way for it to do that with the earthquake. It's actually a fault line. That runs through this general area of Jerusalem. That's why they believe that when the earthquake happens, it's going to open this up to be a valley to where a river can flow through. And then that would flow into the Dead Sea. And then the other part that we were just talking about is the diameter. When we get to the last chapter, we're going to talk about the city itself of Jerusalem. And it's separated from the temple in Ezekiel's vision. And it ends up the Jerusalem size-wise is actually larger than it is now, according to the last chapter of Ezekiel. So you can kind of see where we're getting this idea that the temple will no longer be inside the city of Jerusalem. That's where some of this comes from. Again, all speculation, you know, the Lord could do everything. I mean, he could completely flatten the area and put them all in one place, I'm sure. So we're trying to decipher the verses, the different verses that talk about this. So back to verse 7. Now, when I returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and on the other. And then to talk about the trees, we're going to shoot over to Isaiah 60:13. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. So you can see there's going to be lots of trees around the sanctuary area. That's where we kind of get this idea of all these trees lining everywhere. And also in Revelation 22:2, talks about the trees. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which is bare 12 manner of fruits, and yield their fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, the healing of the nations, that's an interesting term. And I'm sure that we're going to study that a little bit further as we get into some other parts of the, but I know I wrote about it. It also talks about it a little bit in verse 11. So we're going to wait till I get there and we'll talk about it more about the healing aspects. Okay, Ezekiel 47:8. Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. So this is that part that tells us it's going to be It says it's going to out toward the east country and go down into the desert. That kind of gives us an indication that it's going to go out to the east and then come down into the desert region where the Dead Sea is right now. Which being brought in 47:9. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whichever the river shall come, shall live, and there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whether the river cometh. And so that these particular, because coming out of the temple of God, there's going to be special waters that's going to heal the Dead Sea. If you've ever been, I personally haven't been there, but I'm told the Dead Sea is very, the reason it's called dead is nothing lives there. And I have dealt with a what they call 100% brine. We use it a lot in the seafood industry for different reasons. And it's so dense with that the beauty of it is that no bacteria can grow in it. Not even, nothing can grow in it because of the brine, the heaviness of the salt. And that's why it's called the Dead Sea. But these healing waters are actually going to heal it, and it's going to actually have fish again. And I thought at this point it would be fun to take a look at, during this time frame, it sounds like, you know, Jesus is going to be making this area basically like the original Garden of Eden. So I thought we'd jump down and read a little bit out of Genesis. Because it'd be like a return to Eden time type conditions. So let's kind of review just a little bit about what it was like in the Garden of Eden, which some believe was actually in this general area. Because there's a couple of references when it talks about when I didn't look them up this time, but talking about the fact that the garden, that Eden itself was an area, and that some believe that area was including all the way from current day Mediterranean all the way to the river Euphrates, and that the Garden of Eden, that where a lot of what happened with Adam and Eve, was actually in Jerusalem. Because it talks about the different rivers that fed the area, and one of them is the Euphrates. And it, some believe that there's a good possibility that the actual area that Jerusalem is in right now could have originally been the area of Eden. That's a little bit of speculation, a lot, but the fact that the Euphrates is mentioned gives us a hint. And there's four rivers that are mentioned in Eden. And so we're going to kind of look at those real quick. And we don't know where three of them are. And I'm wondering if some of these rivers that are going to be reproduced here were actually those original rivers to heal the land. And so the land's going to be, the whole land's going to be healed, not just from where the temple is down into Jerusalem and out to the Dead Sea. But this could be indicative of the entire region will be healed due to these rivers. So let's take Genesis 2:8 through 14. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. As you notice that the east just seems to be a really well-used word by God. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And of course, east of Jerusalem is where Euphrates is. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, a tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and a tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is it which compasses the whole land of Hevelea, where there is gold. And the gold is that land is good. There is beryllium and the onyx stone. The name of the second river is Giphon, the same as it that compasses the whole land of Ethiopia. Well, you know where Ethiopia is. Maybe I should have got a bigger map. Ethiopia is actually due south of Jerusalem, basically. And the name of the third river is Hiddekiah, that is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And Assyria is actually pretty much where modern day Iran is right now. So you can see that these four rivers were basically covering, it seems like, this entire area. You started to point that out, that this area could look a lot different once Jesus comes back and heals the land. That could be a lot of what he means by healing the land. So back to Ezekiel 47:10. And it shall come to pass that the fishes shall stand upon it from Engedi, even unto Engeleam. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as a fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. So I love fish. So I don't think I'm going to be disappointed in the typical menu of the Millennium Kingdom. So it sounds like there's going to be some great food. They're going to be fishing. I often wondered, but some of these verses kind of tell me that that we will still eat some kind of meat. But I'm not sure. I know a lot of the naturalists are concerned about these human sacrifice, or not human sacrifice, these sacrifices of animals. But and the fact that we eat meat, but it seems like that most would think that because the animals no longer are no longer they're more like pets, that we're not going to eat meat anymore. Well, some of these verses kind of give us a hint that meat is still going to be eaten. Not sure which ones, but at least we know of oxen, we know of lamb, we know of goats, and now we know of fish. I mentioned in the Millennium Kingdom. So I know a lot of people want to try to say it's symbolic, but we'll see. Okay, Numbers. I'm talking about the Great Sea, a couple of references to the Great Sea. The Great Sea being the Mediterranean, I just want to point them out. Numbers 34:6. And as for the western border, you shall even have the Great Sea for a border. This shall be your western border. So western. So it kind of helps us identify what the Great Sea is. In Joshua 23:4, behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from Judea, with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the Great Sea westward. And last, Ezekiel 48:28. And by the border of Gad at the south side, southward, the border shall be even from Tamar unto the waters of Strife and Kadesh, and to the river toward the great sea. That would be the last tribe. It'll be all the way down at the bottom of Israel. And it kind of indicates here that it'll be going to the towards the great sea and the waters of Strife and Kadesh. I think that's actually referring to the area over there near what's it called? Where all the shipping goes through Persian Gulf area. Okay, verse 47:11. But the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. Now, this is a fascinating verse, and I couldn't help but think about what mire is. Mire is actually really kind of a nasty mud. It's like if you've ever been places that have areas where water doesn't really flow, it kind of is stagnant. You have this really black mud that's it's kind of really nasty looking, and it's because it doesn't there's nothing living in that area, and it talks about it be given over to the salt, and those areas are going to remain salty. I was reading through a bunch of commentaries on this. I was trying to decide what God meant by that these miry places won't be healed. And kind of what I came up with, and we're studying this over in Daniel too. So we'll talk about a little bit over in Daniel. But in Daniel 2:43, it talks about mire. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another. even as iron is not mixed with clay. So it's some symbology here that there's something that's going to be separate from God, is what it seems like. And that even during the Millennium Kingdom, we know that there's going to be people that defy God, and that ultimately they're going to gather together at the end and try to again overflow when Satan is released for a short time. And so we know there's going to be people that defy the Lord, and that could be what he's indicating here. And similar situation, because the parts we're reading in Daniel are at basically the same time frame, just prior to this. But that may be what God's trying to say about the mire, is that, and I saw one reference that kind of made sense, that this could represent the apostolic churches who aren't really teaching the word of God. They're kind of teaching a world-based type message, and they're not really studying and talking about the parts of the Bible that are that tell us who God really is. They try to sugarcoat it. There's a lot of churches out there that won't talk about the wrath of God, and that my voice does not want to cooperate right at the moment. But this wrath of God, there are churches out there, and based on the last church, the Church of Laodicea, I have so much trouble with this word, Apollo, the churches there that are like Laodicea, they don't teach the proper message. They're lukewarm. They teach God is only love, that he never does wrath, he never does judgment. And so that this could be an indication of that also still happening to a certain extent, even in the Millennium Kingdom. Some other verses that talk about mire is over in Psalms 40, verse 2. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit. This is David probably talking about his falling into sin and how the Lord picked him up and cleaned him off. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. This is David in response to how God had brought him back from the miry pit. And again, the nastiness, a really nasty mud. If you saw it, it has an odor to it. If it's the type of mud I'm thinking of, I used to have to deal with it in the when I worked in the seafood industry. And it's really nasty. Okay. Verse 12, 47:12. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on the side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaves shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months. Because the waters that issued out of the sanctuary and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Interesting term for medicine. So again, back to that healing idea that for some reason, and the more I read this, the more I'm going, you know, we keep hearing these things about that, the tears will be wiped away and there'll be no more pain, no more sorrow. But I think that basically is identifying us. But now the planet has gone through tribulation for all these years, and it's going to have to be rejuvenated itself. But we still have sin in the world, because we're still going to have people that are not part of the church. They're going to be human. They're going to be having families, and that they're going to continue to sin, because we know that a bunch of them are going to defy God again. And so I think what the healing that's going on here is that it might be something along the lines, kind of a long shot, that if you want to be healed, then you're going to have to come to the Lord. You're going to have to reach out to him and to heal you of your ailments. And that that could be symbolic, that until you do that, that you, because there's talk about dying, that those that are accursed will die at 100 years old. If they don't accept the Lord during that time frame. And then maybe the way that they get rejuvenated is to actually come and plead repentance to the Lord by actually coming to the temple. And they'll receive that healing medicine of the trees of life. Speculation, yeah, but has some logical ideas behind it. But talking about leaves, I found a few verses that kind of help us to see symbolic what could mean, what the leaf kind of means when we're talking about what God's thinking through the Bible. Over in Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. A little hint there of the healing effect of worshiping the Lord. And also in Jeremiah 17:8, for he shall be as the tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. That definitely seems to speak about these trees. And of course, in Revelation 22, again, I already read it partially, but I thought I'd read this whole section as a final nice way to end today's lesson. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, when we were talking about that street, you see the street, that's the street going here, which bare 12 manner of fruit and yield her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were of the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and the need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Now again, this is more indicated talking about after the millennium kingdom is over. But some of this might be leading up to that, the actual structure of the whole temple area. And so that's why I kind of included it. And it's a time frame that we are all as true believers are looking forward to. So I'll end on that note and with a prayer. Thank you, Lord. Oh, gosh, Lord, it's going to be a glorious time. Looking forward to it so much, Lord. And we thank you and praise you. And help us, Lord, to reach out to our fellow mankind to help them to see the glory of the coming new world, new kingdom that you have promised. And that we will all share in the joy of as many as possible that come to a saving knowledge of you, Lord. And we give you all the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And on that, on that note, and after this is a little two-minute video that will, if you are somebody that's new and doesn't know anything about the Lord, and you just happen upon this video, I want to know more about how it is to become a child of God and to join us all as we look forward to that day when we'll be in his kingdom. Stay tuned and watch this video. They'll talk about how you too can reach out to the Lord, and it's a roadmap to heaven. And so we hope that you find it if you have any questions, feel free to pop a question through the through Facebook or through whatever platform you're writing this on. And that our church is located in Florence, Arizona. And you're welcome to join us for Sunday services and also Wednesday evening. And so we hope to hear from anyone who is looking for the Lord and seeking his guidance. We give you all the praise, and we'll give you... So stay tuned. It's only a two-minute video, and I'll show you the passages in the Bible to help you to understand how you too can become a child of God. So on that note, I will talk to you all again Monday, and we'll continue with our finishing up on here on the book of Ezekiel. So everybody have a great day.